In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. We had public radio on yesterday, and they were introducing some upcoming segment, and the voice said the following. It said, during the holidays, nothing brings more joy or inflicts more pain than family. It's kind of funny, and it's certainly ear-catching. And I think the reason it strikes our funny bone is both the fact that it's true and the fact that those that we love and those that irritate us are often one in the same person. Family is a source of joy, a source of companionship, of life itself, of trust, of compassion, of acceptance, above all, of love. Nowhere are we more understood than in our families. But because of the brokenness of the world, not to mention simple personality differences, family can also be a source of conflict, a source of butting heads, of hurt feelings, of awkwardness. When a child is born into a family, they learn and absorb all that's going on around them, and they bring their own gifts and their own talents and their own quirks with them to become part of that system. Now, on this Sunday before the Nativity, in the church, we always read the genealogy, the ancestry of our Savior. And on the surface, it may not be the most exciting section in the New Testament. We're certainly not using most of those names for our baby name list here in the 21st century. But Matthew opens his gospel with it. And in fact, the church puts it as first in the New Testament. So the whole of the New Testament opens with our Savior's extended family. It's the list of his ancestry, which means it must be important if that's what we're opening our New Testament with. And there is a grace in it because Jesus came into the world to redeem humanity and to redeem creation. You know, creation is good, but it's also broken. And this ancestry of Christ demonstrates both the goodness and the brokenness. This is the family that the Son of God chose to be born into. Kings and peasants. Monogamists and polygamists. Saints and murderers. Locals and foreign refugees. Adulterers, harlots, and thieves on the one hand, and folks of such deep faith that they gave up everything to follow God on the other. There were wise and there were fools, sometimes the same person. There was astounding wisdom and there is mental illness. There were physical weaknesses and amazing strength. There was biological birth and there was adoption. This is the family that the Savior was born into. If they had all lived at once, you could imagine what the family gatherings would have been like. He didn't come from some ideal and perfect heritage. He was born into the blend we call family. He was born into the blend we call humanity. That's who and how he chose to come into the world. And he accepts all of our nature, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he makes us his. You know, Paul Harvey, that famous radio personality for so many years, spoke once about the us and them when it comes to family. He said families can bicker and fight and insult among themselves all they want. But as soon as an outsider hurts someone in my family, it's immediately us versus them. The brother or sister we've been harassing suddenly becomes the most important person in the world to me, and the other person outside had better watch out. Well, by the gospel beginning with the ancestry of Christ, it's immediately putting that into perspective. It is saying God has become us. We are us to him. But it's also doing something else. It's immediately putting a stop to us versus them. One of the immediate meanings of this passage is that we're all us and that there is no them because Christ came to take it all on, and in him we are all us. But I think even more powerful meaning is that the us includes God himself. That the us includes God as Father and Christ, therefore, as the first brother of this family. You know, God, who is rich in mercy, enters the broken world so that not only are we family with one another, but first so that we are family with him. And God not only adopts humanity, but becomes genetically and biologically part of that humanity. He makes human nature his so that the divine nature might be ours. And brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the Lord's birth in Bethlehem, let us remember that it's more than just a generic Jesus' birthday. It is God becoming part of the human family so that the human family can both be one with each other and, more importantly, be one with him. Amen.